Welcome to Fluxedo Junction. I'm Scott Kukler. Each week we bring you the best music of all genres from throughout the world, and today we'll be speaking with British music legend John Ford. Having toured and recorded with Velvet Opera, The Straubs, Hudson Ford, and The Monks, John relocated to the North Shore of Long Island in the 1980s, where his versatility brought him into what would become an extensive and diverse solo career, with occasional side trips into projects like Blackmore's Night. His new EP, Heading for the Unknown, became available to stream everywhere on March 15th, so let's start things there. Here's the first track off of the EP, titled What Kind of World, here on Fluxedo Junction.
The children, they were singing, all wrapped up in ecstasy. You could hear the bells were ringing. Everyone had blessed the day and the joy that it would bring. Did it all have to come to an end? Oh no. Broken windows, bad news on the radio.
Probably from The Straubs or The Monks, even Hudson Ford. But the first time I ever saw you perform was on your own. It was at a special radio convention through WUSB in Stony Brook. And you did a great solo performance. And then I think shortly after that, I saw you with Blackmore's Night, even. So you've had a varied history from a lot of different genres of music. How can you sum up what the new project is all about, which is Heading for the Unknown?
Well, that's one of many solo albums. I've been here in America for quite a few years, and that's one of many solo albums that I continue to do. Because basically, I left the Straubs in 73, believe it or not, showing my age, and then we had some reunion tours around sort of 1999. And then around, I think we did a couple in the early 2000s. And then we did the 50th anniversary in 2019. So, since I've been in this country, I probably had about 10 solo albums plus a couple of Christmas ones. And so this one is, the EP is just a continuation of, stuff I keep doing all the time. I mean, my last solo project was right in the middle of the pandemic, 2021, which was called Life in a Foreign Town. That was my last album out that I had to come out. So this basically is just a continuation of that.
Now, your career has always sort of kept you in this nexus between various different subcategories that have fanatical listenership. You're everywhere from folk rock to prog rock to even psychedelic rock and everything kind of in between. And then as we move on through time, your music has always stayed current. How does it work for you, the process of putting material together and deciding what direction to go in? Do you have any choice in the matter, or does the art dictate to you what direction it wants to go in?
I think as a songwriter, you're influenced by, what's going on around. And like songs that I write now, I couldn't have written in the 70s. I mean, I can't write another Part of the Union, and I can't write another Heavy Disguise, because that's what was going on then. You have different, your life is different. And it's like Bob Dylan said on an interview, he said, I can't, all songs are magical. I can't, I don't know how I wrote them. And that's not that I'm putting myself with Bob Dylan, but that basically is it. I mean, like in the pandemic, we're sitting, I'm sitting in my studio, locked down like everyone else, can't go out. It's, you can't accept packages for 3 days, which according to scientists, that was a complete waste of time. But anyway, I've got a song on my previous album called All Locked Down, and the lyrics reflect exactly what was going on. I mean, I still play that in my solo shows. It's all down to, and the same when I was in El Maganti's Velvet Opera, colours of the rainbow appear on my wall. I mean, I can't write lyrics. It's all down to how you feel and what your life was like and what was going on,
Is it ever strange for you, having gone back that far, to want to be out promoting current music and talking about what you're doing now? But you must, with all of these amazing things you've been involved with, you must always have people asking you about the past while you're trying to talk about the present and the future. That must be a little bit frustrating. And I'm sure it happens to everybody from Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan on down.
That doesn't bother me. A lot of people come up when we did the Straubs did the Property Festival, which is
the Fairport thing, yeah.
Fairport Convention Festival last summer, and we sat there for at least like 2 hours with a 100-yard line signing autographs, and people were coming up with albums that that mean a lot to them. From the 70s and the 80s, and you have to deal with it. I find it no problem at all. If they want to talk about it, it's fine. I mean, I don't necessarily just want to talk about what I'm doing now, because what you're doing now is it may be not important to some people,
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am.
I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the factories fall.
Oh, get on.
Of the company spies, and I don't get fooled by the factory rules, 'cause I always read between the lines, and I always get my way if I strike for higher pay. When I show my card to the Scotland Yard, and this is what I say, oh. My life was half as clear. Now I've got the power to the working hour, and every other day of the year. So though I'm a working man, I can ruin the government's plan. I'm not too hard, but the sight of my car makes me some kind of Superman.
The artists that still give you that feeling, just as a fan yourself, who was it that inspired you to get involved in music in the first place, and who continues to inspire you?
Well, when I was a child, the big thing in England, big thing in England was a guy called Lonnie Donegan.
Oh, sure.
Which was, there was a big skiffle craze, which. A lot of the tunes were lifted from the old blues singers, Lead Belly and all that sort of stuff, which I had no, most people in England had no idea of that. But when I used to see, you know, Lonnie Donegan sharing things with Lead Belly and Woody Guthrie, I thought, who are these guys? But it didn't matter because it was, you know, I had a skiffle group at school, and I think the Beatles had the same thing. They had a skiffle group, and that's how that started off with me. When it got a bit later on, my big influence was a British instrumental band called The Shadows.
Of course, yeah.
Which, if you listen to any of my solo stuff, I don't really consider myself a lead guitarist, but any stuff I play on the lead, all that seems to come out sounded like Hank Marvin. And then obviously the my biggest influence after that in the early 60s, and I was still around like 13 or 14, was the Beatles, who I think are still the greatest, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, the greatest voices in rock music to this day, I think. I mean, you can still listen to, you know, Paul McCartney and John screaming in those early songs, you know, Thank You Girl, From Me To You. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And that still stays with me till this day, actually, really. I mean, I've had a lot of influence. I mean, I ought from the 60s, you know, Rolling Stones, The Kinks, you know. And then, I go with the times. I like a lot of stuff. I like the 80s stuff when all the techno music came in, you know, and everyone was using electronic drums. And there's some great stuff in that era as well, you know, while the Stools were still doing, you know, prog rock and all that. I love the punk stuff. That's how we ended up doing the Monks album, because to me it was like me picking up a guitar again and just thrashing it out and not worrying about all these, complicated prog rock songs.
You know? Yeah, you know, the Monks, it's interesting to touch on that, because I used to, when I lived in Brooklyn, listened to a radio station from New Jersey called WFMU, and it was just like a complete freeform freak station, and they loved the Monks. That was like a real staple of their playlist, even up into the 90s when I was living there. And they would have these big record conventions, and there would be a lot of really dedicated fans. It must be a surreal experience to have that kind of an influence over so many different types of musicians a generation or two removed from when you started it. How can you even approach working on new music?
That whole thing was a bit of a fluke, because I wrote the hit song in England, a nice leg shame about the face, with an input from Richard Hutton, who threw in a few lines.
Yeah.
And we didn't do it for ourselves. It was one of a few songs that we sent to publishers. And a label came back, said, we want to release this. And it was right at the end of the punk thing, like 1978 or something. And so we said, why not? I mean, we were doing a lot of other things. You know, we were out of the Straws. Hudson Ford was, like, winding down a bit. And then all of a sudden, this hit the charts, and we had to go. We did Top of the Pops, and we did all the big. And so basically we sort of took advantage of it a bit, not saying we were punks, trying to disguise ourselves, but we were really Hudson Ford. And we wrote in another guy, Terry Cassidy, made him the lead singer. And then EMI asked us to, which was the label, asked us to do an album. And we did it. We did an album. Once they found out we were Hudson Ford, that completely went down the drain. But lo and behold, we started getting things from Canada saying that that whole album was a big hit on the college circuit, and the one of the songs, Drugs in My Pocket, couldn't write a song like that to me. Drugs in My, actually it was an anti-drug song actually, but with a bit of a laugh in it.
Yeah.
And that started hitting the charts, and then a couple of other songs from that album. And then to cut a long story short, we went over there on a tour, which was basically it was unbelievable, a 3-week tour over there. Absolutely unbelievable. And then we got a platinum album. I got a platinum album on my wall here for that, a triple platinum, actually. And then after that, we made a second album, Suspended Animation. And then recently, we just had a box set out from the whole thing with a third album, which never came out, with all the tracks on there. So we just rolled with it, you know, and not we were trying to emulate the punk, because we weren't, but we, you know, hey, when you get a, you know, hit record, which is the music business is very fickle, we just sort of roll with that thing, you know. And I hope Johnny Rotten liked John Lydon, like, what was that song we had in it? Johnny B. Rotten.
Yeah.
So, all the songs were pretty clever. I mean, they were. I mean, but they were tongue-in-cheek. And I was I dropped the bass, and Hudson took over the bass, although he played the drums as well. And I was thrashing out acoustic guitar. I was very influenced at that time by the guy out of the Police with the, you know, the big chords with the chorus, all that sort of thing.
That's interesting to me. There was really that line between, I guess, prog, for lack of a better term, and punk is so imaginary, because so many people, Ray Manzarek, Phil Collins, yourself, moved on to work in punk. And of course, the Police. I mean, Andy Summers was in the Animals, for God's sake. And also I love thinking about Lemmy from Motorhead, his quote about having, somebody asked him who the best band he ever saw live was, and his answer was the Beatles. He said, I saw the Beatles at the Cavern Club, and nothing has ever been more punk than that was, you know?
Yeah, and, I suppose, yeah. And the punk movement came back to, you know, just, it sort of threw away everything, went you know, prior to that, all the glam rock and all that sort of David Bowie stuff, and sort of stripped it down, and everyone was just playing with a guitar and an amplifier.
Yeah.
And to me, though, I love the Sex Pistols stuff, and I still like John Lydon. I mean, he had an album out, a couple of those tracks. He did this ridiculous thing with a... I can't remember what it was now, but he's still great.
Yeah.
And even my son loves him, you know, even though he trashes him. He thinks Green Day nicked all his ideas by me.
Legs, shame about her face. I had to take her dancing, I couldn't let her down. Told we got the bus to the other side of town. Out upon the dance floor, I wasn't getting far. So I had a drink with my friends up at the bar. I asked them what they thought of her, they fell about the place and they said, nice legs, shame about her face. Shame about the boat race. Down to gin and soda, tapped me on the shoulder, whispered in my ear, it's getting kinda late. When I took her home, we hardly said a thing. I walked her to the door, expected to go in. She looked me up and down and really put me in my place. She said, nice legs, shame about your face. Nice legs, shame about your face.
I'm so glad you brought up your son, because I was just about to. He's a musician as well, right? And he's got a band that's doing pretty well.
He has a band on the island called Lucky Dangerous. And he's he still plays in my band because he's sort of my musical director. And he played on, he was on a couple of tracks on this album. And he played a lot of stuff on my previous album. But yeah, he's got his own band. There's just the two of them, actually. They're Lucky Dangerous. They're doing like what's the name of that band? I can't remember now. Well, they just had a drummer, the girl drummer, and the guitarist and the singer.
Yeah.
Seven Man Army. White Stripes.
Oh, they're White Stripes, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they do. They've got no bass player. He plays the bass on his recording.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so he's doing pretty well.
That's great. That's great. Well, it's wonderful. I wish we had more time to talk, because honestly, I could get really, really deep into your entire history, but it's only an hour-long show that they give me. So I guess I'm going to have to leave it there. But we're going to be looking forward to getting the new EP. Actually, by the time this airs, I think this is airing the day after that comes out. So we'll be able to include some of that music into this program. And I hope that you'll allow me to speak with you again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Shallow by gonna shout about it. I'm gonna live without it. I'm moving right along. Yeah, I'm moving on. Yeah. I don't want you. I don't need you. Ain't gonna fool you or mislead you. It's all over now. There's no point in hanging on. So I'm moving on. Yeah, I'm moving on.
So few, it's beginning to get me down. town.